Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
For me, when I think of the law of attraction, when you're constantly seeking clarity and growing towards clear goals, the stuff that you need to actually accomplish those goals will find you along your journey, right? And present themselves at the right time. And I think like that's more the fundamental aspect of the law of attraction. And then if you really want it to kick up, you have to look at like all aspects of your life as these operating systems that need to all operate together to create harmony. And that harmony creates the actual gravity that pulls in the law of attraction, and that you, as you expand into becoming the ideal version of yourself, living your ideal life. Like, it's that sort of connection of all of that that really amplifies the law of attraction again, versus just trying, like hoping, right? Like just hoping, trying to say to yourself, oh, I wish I could get $1 million. The $1 million isn't showing up, right? It's like you have to, you use the law of attraction to accelerate you on the journey of your already clear output and plan that you have in place.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very special treat. He's a former professional skateboarder turned TV host and producer. You'll recognize him from the iconic TV shows Robin Big, Ridiculousness, and Fantasy Factor, just to name a few. He's the face of MTV, but he's so much more than that. He's an unbelievable husband and father to his children and badass super entrepreneur who's lived many successful lives, and yet he's just getting warmed up. He's driven by sheer drive and vision, and his mindset is absolutely bulletproof. He's just an overall juggernaut in all facets of life and a phenomenal human being. Please welcome the brilliant and dynamic, systematic, charismatic machine himself, Rob Dyrdek. How you
doing,
Rob?
Look, best intro I've had. No doubt, best intro I've had. Man, hey, thank you. Thank you for the time and effort to put in such a thoughtful intro. I appreciate it.
I'm moved by your reaction because I take such great pride in those, and I want to do right by you because I'm a fan. Obviously, preparation breeds confidence, but let's be honest, you wrote it. It's your life, brother.
Yeah, no. And it's funny when it gets regurgitated and then I'm so in it, right? And it's my life. I live it. I love it. But like when you start to hear it all like laid out, it always feels like, man, you do a lot of stuff. But in my life, I feel like I'm just living. I don't feel like I do a ton. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's really interesting.
Also, I know you're very present. You're working on your mindfulness.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm... The beauty of it is when you live with such deep intention and you have such clear goals. And for me, I have these beautiful systems that allow me to live a very effortless life, a very automated life that's been optimized. But you almost primarily always live clean in the present because you're not being pulled into dwelling or hoping or wishing. You know, you really either are problem solving, creating, or experiencing. And to me, I almost do all three of them at the same time.
Yeah, you do. And to be honest with you, all I got out of that was you're on absolute fire and you can't be stopped. I couldn't be more excited for today. Like I was saying before we went on air, I'm such a fan. We're both premiering on the show Office Hours tonight, which is cool, but we're going to have a lot of fun today. The audience obviously loves to get a little bit of background story in case anyone might not be familiar with you. But before we get into that, we're going to start off and get a little weird. You ready to get weird?
Let's get weird.
Rob, what's your superpower?
I think my true superpower is the ability to automate anything.
right? I think like the fact that I have sort of a mind that sees in systems allows me to automate everything. And then at optimization, when you optimize is where greatness occurs, you know, and that's really my gift, is to see the world as systems, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And to describe you in a word, like I'm just thinking, because I know how systematic you are, it's just efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Describe yourself in three words.
Oh man, art, science, and magic. You know, it's like, you know, I say it a lot, but it's, you know, it's why I created it and describe it in so many things and refer to manufacturing amazing as systematically fusing art, science, and magic is, you know, it's a creative individual who's constantly creating and changing and evolving. But then the science side, like I believe in all the stuff that actually works, right? And then the unexplainable, I used to refer to it as make your own luck in the fantasy factory days. Like, but you know, it's the truth that like you put yourself in the position for, you know, unthinkable things to happen to you. And that really is the magic, you know?
Yeah. This is deep, but that was just riveting. And to be honest with you, let me know if you know a good surgeon, because you'd have to surgically move the smile from my face. I'm just so excited for this conversation. I know how deep we're about to get. What's something really weird about you that a lot of people might not know?
You know, I think people probably know that I love, you know, but what they probably don't know is that I love TV love. And like, I can really enjoy like a bachelor or a bachelorette, you know what I mean? Like, I love so much that like, I love the idea that like, man, you could go on a beach in Mexico and like 6 weeks later get engaged, right? Like, you know, so most people don't know of like how much I enjoy love shows on television, you know?
That's awesome. And to be honest with you, I don't want to use the word corny because that's not fair, but I know what you mm-hmm. mean by that type of content stuff. I'm a sucker for that as well. That's awesome. Yeah. What's your definition of success, Rob?
You know, look, I've toiled with this over a lot of different years in a lot of different ways. And really, as I've been really like thinking about why am I so happy? Why, what is it that allows me to have such great peace, clarity, and happiness in my life? Right. And I realized that at the core of it, the great success I have is I basically get up with energy and then I go from thing to thing to thing all day that I enjoy that and can't wait to do that gives me energy, right? And I think like success truly, you know, they'll say freedom and there's all these different aspects of what success can mean. But at the end of the day, to be able to go from thing to thing to thing every single day that you really get energy from and enjoy, you've got to essentially master your time, energy, capacity, and design your life in a way that it produces that, you know. Yeah.
This is terrific. That's just gripping. And I agree with you 100%. And it's no secret that you're doing what you love. And the passion is seeping through the screen right now. So I don't think anybody would ever question your passion. And also I've heard you say something like, find what like gravitates your energy the most and then build a life around that. Right?
Yeah. 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 Cause look, you, and especially for people that don't know what to do, right? Like see how trying different things and seeing how you feel, you know, I think a lot of times people are attached to the result or what it could deliver versus like how it makes them feel, especially energetically, right? Because there's so many aspects of your life that either give energy or take energy. And you just want to become sensitive to it so that you're always trying to position yourself to do things that give you energy. And that takes a lot of, you know, personal development and self-awareness to be able to follow, feel, and ultimately discover where you get that energy from.
Yeah. Amen, brother. I love this. And I can't wait to get into some of the deep dialogue with like the law of attraction and obviously all the stuff you're going on now, but we'll jump around a little bit. It's funny because you're a young guy, but like you've had so many different seasons, right? Like there's probably a generation that knows you, some of my audience, as a skateboarder dude. There's probably a generation that knows you as a super entrepreneur with all these businesses and so forth. You dropped out of school when you were 16. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Yeah. And then where did the passion come from?
I don't look. My mother doesn't like me to say I dropped out. I did not go to school any longer after my junior year. And then I got a credit at night in night school. So I was able to get a diploma, but she hates whenever I refer to myself as a dropout. I don't want people to think you're a loser. And I said, Mom, I don't, in the context of these interviews and what it is, I don't, it's not a context of people judging whether or not I'm a loser or not. Yes. So, but I try to reframe it in a more positive way.
And let me just take a step back to Rob's mom and acknowledge it for a second. Rob left and was doing other things by choice. And it's so something that my mom would say too. Was this skateboarding always a passion for you, like when you were younger?
Yeah. I mean, look, I dabbled in a lot of different sort of athletics, you know, taekwondo and soccer. But it was that creative side of, and that independence that went along with skateboarding, you know, that got me really obsessed. But I was also recognized for being talented at a very young age, right? And I think that reinforced this idea that, oh, I want to do this more. Like, everybody's saying I have potential and that I'm super gifted. Like, so it just made me lock in. And then as I began to expand on that, then it was like, he's going to be a pro. So the moment they sort of validated that as like my trajectory, then I just locked in, and it was really like nothing was going to stop me from achieving that. When I first really made that decision when I was 12 years old.
You know? Yeah. And maybe you didn't know this at the time because you probably didn't study this stuff back then, but that's also the power of intention, right?
Correct. Yeah. But think about this. Think of the bullets I dodged, because where did I grow up in? I grew up in a fixed mindset household. Where did I go to school? I went to a fixed mindset school with fixed mindset teachers. I had fixed mindset family members who all told me that I was going to have to get a job like everybody else, and that this was never ever going to be an actual job. It's just a hobby, right? So, and again, you have to, if you're not raised with the idea that anything's possible, the only way you can break through at that early age is to take risks and then work. And so since I kept doing that and those risks kept paying off for me, then my pendulum shifted to where, like, I believe more in myself, not what others say. And that really was a, you know, what I'd consider, you know, one of the magical sides of my upbringing that allowed me to then build a foundation of anything is possible and then go and prove it in your lifetime, you know.
100%. And just a side note for a second, like, you talk about you believed in yourself, not what other people thought, but talk about the power of self-belief and how big that is for everything we do in life.
But let's dissect what I said. You can't just believe in yourself, because you're lying to yourself, right? Because you're like, oh no, I believe in myself. Oh no, I believe in myself. I do. It doesn't work. You have to grow self-belief. So I took risks, and then those risks worked out. Then I began, I'm like, man, I really can do this. Then I do another one. Like, oh, I really can do this. I'm going to be pro. Like, now, because I got closer and closer. Yeah. Then when I became a pro skateboarder, at that point at 16 years old, I had gone through a handful of big risks, and they all worked out, that built the belief system in me so deep that when I finally turned pro, then at my core, I truly believed that I could do anything, because I decided at 12 years old, I was going to be a pro skateboarder, and I became one, right? So that's where that idea of, and I think a lot of people struggle with trying to believe in themselves rather than understanding that you have to sort of define something that you would be proud of yourself for achieving, set that goal of it to begin to build belief within yourself.
Yeah. Beautifully said. And like, with the experience, you become more battle tested, and nothing really gives you more confidence than the experience. Like you said, you dodged a couple bullets, but you were going through stuff and you were having some success. So you start to think, why not you? Right.
Right. And what happens, especially if you focus on continually taking risks and growing in the same direction, in the same field, right. You, your knowledge, you don't, like, you expand into life, right? So your knowledge base is very little at the beginning of anything you do. And then even if you have a big dream out here, you want to get into personal development, lead finance and all this stuff, you kind of had like the anchor point of what you saw that you wanted to get to. And then you know where you wanted to start. But what you learned in the first 2 years of doing it, now you see, okay, here's everything I actually have to do to even get to where I want to be. There's sort of this process of visions and goals that unfold in front of you as your knowledge and gets wider and wider, which gives you, you know, clarity on like, I do think I can do this, or maybe I shouldn't do this at that sort of point. You know?
Yeah. And for the audience, Rob's making a reference. We were having a chat before we went on air on a little bit about my journey, which the audience knows from leaving finance and doing the personal development. But it's so true. Like, you have a target, you're intentional with it. And then what does it take to get there? And then obviously what you think might not be what it actually is and so forth, but just taking action, right? And showing up and doing the damn thing. The only negative that we have going on right now is that we don't have 10 hours to chat, because I already love your frequency. This is awesome. At some point you move to Cali and things start to kind of blossom. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, for me at the time, I had always planned on moving to California. I was kind of financially constrained, right? In those first years of turning pro, you know, I made, you know, like $600 in the first year of being pro. And for December of 1991, sold one skateboard and got a check for $2, you know, and right at the top of that year, they were like, if you move to Cali right now, because them as a company were based in Dayton, Ohio, and where I was from. And if you move right now, we'll guarantee you $1,000 a month. Right. And it was like, I might as well have like won the lottery. Like, I felt like the richest, like I felt so wealthy. And I drove in my Honda Civic to Leucadia, California, like, and here I am, I live in California and I'm rich. You know what I mean? So it was an extraordinary sort of process together, again, of feeling like my dream was always to move there. I had to wait till I had the financial means. I continued to prove myself. Then the company was like, this is what we'll do to reward you for what you've been able to do in this first year. We really want to see you out there. And then here I am, you know, I'm living in Leucadia, California with myself, one, my best friend at the time, and four girls that were the sisters of another pro skateboarder. And my mom was like, you can't do this. You're going to have AIDS. And I'm like, just because I was moving in with four girls, you know what I mean? It was like the most bizarre sort of, like, again, beyond
great,
like limiting beliefs, right? Beyond limiting beliefs, like just like you, like the only way to get through life is to just do nothing. Then, you know what I'm saying? So it was always a funny sort of like backwards perspective that I always had throughout everything that I would attempt to do. That got much more severe as I started doing dangerous stunts, you know?
And we'll dive into that. And I just want to acknowledge you for a second. Like, you had so much courage. Like you said, like you came from an environment that wasn't necessarily taking big risks like that, but you put the intention out there. I know it wasn't easy, but you got yourself to Cali and so forth. And we're going to jump around a little bit just because I want to be respectful for time. How did this segue into the first MTV stuff?
And so, you know, initially I had a lot of pressure on me for the DC video, right? And the DC video is essentially a collection of your very best skate tricks over a year or two, edited down into like a 3-minute part. And DC had blown up and was one of the biggest companies in the world, making one of the biggest things that would be historical in my skate career. And I just knew I wasn't like as good as everybody else on the team. And so I decided like I would write a really funny skit to be a part of my video. And I thought, God, what would be funnier than like me, security guard that I would take when I went to go skate? So when they tried, security guards would kick me out. They would talk to my security guard, not talk to me. And then it just blew up in skateboarding, you know, and really became, you know, almost bigger than the video itself, you know, outside of Danny Way reinventing what was possible on a skateboard. But I'm then was recognized by Ruben Fleischer, who was a documentary filmmaker who now makes major motion pictures, who was making a documentary about this event car race that me and Big Black were doing together, who was like, man, you guys should do a show together. And I'm like, oh, I would never have time to do a show. And then we ended up, he showed the footage he shot to Jeff Tremaine, who had Jackass on MTV at the time, who I knew from Big Brother magazine before Jackass. And then he was like, man, like, we should take this to MTV. And that's really together, the three of us took it to MTV. And, you know, the process was very bizarre. You know, when they wouldn't buy a buddy comedy. They bought Rob Dyrdek's Rules to Success because they're like, the show's about you. You're the one that created all this. This is your mind. And they bought Rob Dyrdek's Rules to Success. And the first rule was always surround yourself with good people. And that was to be Big Black, right? But after we shot the show, a story editor from the reality show, The Newlyweds, came in and looked at all the footage for the network head and was like, man, this is a buddy comedy between these two guys. And then we re-edited it to just be what would become Robin Big, you know. And again, that, you know, the moment it launched, it was like an instant hit and changed the trajectory or the level that I would operate from forever, you know.
Yeah, two things. Number one, the chemistry between you two was absolutely priceless. It really was so special. Like, that's magic. And then also,
and look, even like they made us script the whole show out. And the very first scene that we shot was this fully scripted out shot of me and him in the kitchen talking. And the conversation went off script to like talking about prison, how if we were in prison, he would run me down. I'm like, you know, I tell you what you ain't going to do is run me down in prison. You couldn't even catch me. Like, and it immediately went off script into a challenge, a foot race challenge out in the front. And that's almost like, I mean, that chemistry and that sort of timing that we had together was instantaneous. And like, we didn't even like allow the fact that they tried to put us in the script, stop us from beginning to create it the way that we knew it was the most over the top and fun, you know?
Yeah. And boy, was it magic. What was that? That's right. I can hear your thoughts. Have no fear. I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get weekly access to the CLS experience live in action, dropping gems, nuggets, trainings, special celebrity and business mogul guest speakers, and maximum energy. We just launched the CLS membership. We have weekly Zooms with like-minded, growth-oriented juggernauts, networking and absorbing all the wisdom via weekly Zooms. Head to cultivatelastingsymphony.com and then bang! Enter your new network today. Let's grow together. You dig? And you said right before that, like, it changed the trajectory of what you thought was possible. Is that where like your paradigm started expanding on what you could possibly do in like the entertainment world?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's, you know, the paradigm is almost like hard to describe because you never identified the paradigm in the first place, right? Like, you never really, I was a pro skateboarder, business guy, had already had an immense amount of success and was well on my way of evolving and growing and you know, living out a life that I took, you know, a lot of control of to be extraordinary, right? But then it's like, yeah, let's take a shot at this television thing. Like, and then it actually working, like, it's like, now you're all of a sudden, everywhere you go, everybody knows who you are. It's not a paradigm that you could have ever even like envisioned for yourself. You're now like, actually what it did as it relates to someone like me who relentlessly cashed in on opportunity that was around me and any throughout my skate career, throughout everything, it now provided this entirely new platform for me to create opportunity from on a scale that I had never been on before that point.
You know? Yeah. Did you feel comfortable in that playground, so to speak, in this whole new pond that you're swimming in?
Oh, I mean, I also prepared myself to get there. I saw what Bam was happening with Bam Margera's signature product from being on Jackass. I renegotiated all of my royalty deals. I started a clothing company with Travis Barker. Like, I had positioned myself like, hey, if this works like Jackass, like, I'm going to like double down that it'll have the same thing will happen to Bam. Did and it literally overnight. And you gotta even think, like, DC in that era was, you know, around an $80-90 million company, and in the Robin Big era went to $500 million in those first 3 years, because it was like the real like where it went from this core to core just skate action sports brand to all of a sudden like a mainstream footwear and apparel brand overnight, you know.
Yeah. And you talk about renegotiating, and because I'm a fan and I wanted to give you the respect deserved for the conversation, but also because I love you legitimately. There was a time when you, it was time to renegotiate, but also you had been kind of practicing the law of attraction and stuff like that. And I know you're big on, don't just think it, feel it. And then you went to go renegotiate. And instead of thinking of maybe this is it for TV, or let's get some more episodes, it ended up landing to more seasons, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and look, this is, we're taking a big leap here.
I know, right? We are. I know we are.
You know what I'm saying? In the sense of like just the hardworking TV guy, like, but by the time I did that one, you know, not only had I connected with the great Dr. Joe Dispenza via Ed Mylett, and like I have like grown into like perpetually optimizing and growing and evolving, and relationships and meetings like that continue to evolve like an already elevated way of thinking. And I had already, you know, I started to meditate through guided meditation about just manifestation. And then after meeting Dr. Joe, you know, it was like, it like really what his philosophy is to like actually affect the quantum field, that it was, you have to feel it like an experience, because the body knows no difference. And then rather than, because at that time ridiculousness has gotten too expensive to produce and potentially they were going to get rid of it, and so I was just trying to get season like 13 picked up, and rather than meditating and feeling season 13, I sat there and just meditated on the feeling of what it felt like to introduce season 30. Right. So it wasn't even, so I just was living in that energy of like, so I set the anchor to that I would be pulled to via the law of attraction and the quantum field, like so much further out. And then what happens? Like, we fully renegotiate because I now have control of the financial and the operational side of the show, because I now built the business that produces it. I'm able to negotiate not on talent, but as on unit economics for the network, as the changing landscape of ad dollars in the linear cable world. Then I'm get the price down that makes it super profitable for them. They commit to me to ordering 168. That works so well. I get another 168, and then I get a 500 episode order because it's working so big. And that 500 episode order takes me to season 30, right? And that's a short window. That, and if you would have said to me, when would you, if you shoot that 30, how long would it take? Well, I mean, it would probably take, I'm shooting like a few a year, so it's going to take me like 10 years to get there, but I'll shoot the all the way to there in 3 years, right? Like, it's a phenomenal example of, you know, having deep clarity on all aspects of what you're doing and what you want to achieve and what they mean. So when you practice trying to manifest them through feeling what it's like, there's not an ounce of it that's not authentic. There wasn't a part of my body that didn't understand and believe that it was possible. So when I felt it, it felt really real and authentic, and is why it ultimately happened.
Yeah, this is gold. I did the same thing when I ran my last marathon, on visualizing the finish line, what it would feel like, what it would smell like, and a specific time. But two things from what you just said, I wanted to ask you about like tapping into the quantum. Like this is pretty serious, deep stuff. A lot of people like they don't 100% know what that means and stuff. How have you been able to apply that into all areas of your life? Like even like relationship and stuff like that. And then secondly, you talk about meditation. For me, it's been very challenging to like quiet the noise and to meditate. I think it was like that for you also in the beginning, but you've been able to kind of find your way in it. Is that right?
Yeah. And look, and I think for me, I knew I couldn't quiet the noise. Right. And then I didn't know why I couldn't like connect specifically why I wanted to quiet the noise. Right. And for me, but I knew I needed, it was undeniable that I needed to meditate. And, you know, again, this is how the law of attraction works. When I finally made the decision, it was after listening to my cousin's podcast about, you know, someone explaining the benefits of meditation on the brain and all this stuff. Like, I just was like, okay, enough's enough. I gotta sort this through. I have this internal medicine specialist that comes and meets with my children every 6 weeks to check their biomechanics. I want my kids to have flawless biomechanics. And we started talking about meditation. She's like, oh, you know, you should like, and I told her how difficult it was. She's like, oh, you should get a Somadome. Like where we're at, like in my, you know, she worked at Sports Academy, which was previously the Mamba Academy. And she's like, there's an actual machine that you can meditate that you get in, and it's light and sound and guided meditation. Like if you have trouble, you should come check it out. I'm doing case studies for the CEO, who's a friend of mine, on sort of its performance for athletes. And it presented itself to me. And then I got in it, I went and tested it, and then bought one and put it in my house. And it changed my life ever since. Right. And there isn't, you know, I would say of this year of this, I've probably not meditated 3 or 4 times, right? Like that's how consistent it is. And that's how much a part of like a life it is to me.
Yeah.
But again, it, for me, when I think of the law of attraction, when you're constantly seeking clarity and growing towards clear goals, the stuff that you need to actually accomplish those goals will find you along your journey, right? And present themselves at the right time. And I think like that's more the fundamental aspect of the law of attraction. And then if you really want it to kick up, you have to look at like all aspects of your life as these operating systems that need to all operate together to create harmony. And that harmony creates the actual gravity that pulls in the law of attraction, and that you, as you expand into becoming the ideal version of yourself, living your ideal life. Like it's that sort of connection of all of that, that really amplifies the law of attraction again, versus just trying, like hoping, right? Like just hoping, trying to say to yourself, oh, I wish I could get $1 million. The $1 million isn't showing up, right? It's like you have to, you use the law of attraction to accelerate you on the journey of your already clear output and plan that you have in place. You know?
And the law of Goya, right? Get off your ass has to come into place with that as well.
I mean, to me, that's just too fundamental. You know what I mean? Like if you need the law of Goya, you probably don't even believe in the law of attraction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But this stuff is deep. And like for a lot of people that are just tapping into all this stuff with the quantum law of attraction, I know it could be a little woo-woo or overwhelming, but let me be honest, like there was a time when I was a little suspect, and then I started really buying in, and then like you said, everything is in harmony and everything just starts to open up. Were you always like that, or did you kind of have to buy in?
I always felt it, right? I used to always like refer to it more that I had like amazing angels, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like things always seem to like fall my way. And it wasn't till I, you know, really met my wife you know, because I was never really into personal development until I met my wife.
Really?
And yeah, like I, you know, I had maybe read a couple books here and there, and I naturally like evolved over time and continued to grow. You know, I always had sort of a growth mindset of this idea that, you know, my goal is to be better next year than I was the year before. Just really simple. But I'd never like thought about how I could actually grow with purpose. Like I never even like had really understood personal development. Like, and I looked at it as like Tony Robbins to me in that era before I met my wife was just more like a motive. I looked at like personal development as people that needed motivation, you know, and I think, you know, my wife, when I first met her, was reading Think and Grow Rich, and I read it again. And it was like this profound sort of like experience of like, you know, cause I read when I was young, but I realized like, man, it's like you live so much of this, like, why don't you get better at living like this? Right. And I think that that's really what began to evolve and really, you know, in the personal development side, then my wife was super into Tony Robbins and out of nowhere, Tony Robbins reached out to my office and was like, Tony would like to meet with Rob. And I'm, you know, Tony had never been on my radar in my life till I met my wife who wanted to see Tony Robbins. And this is, look, this is my girlfriend. We don't even dating a little bit here. Right. And like, I'm like, oh, Tony wants to meet me. This will impress my wife. So crazy. And so he wanted to connect because he wanted to share, like, Money Master the Game with me in the hopes that I would share it with my audience. Right. And so I'm thinking I'm impressing my girlfriend who I want to be my wife one day and connecting with Tony Robbins. And sure, I'll look at your money book. And then Money Master the Game completely changed my life. Right. So it's like I thought I was doing it for her. And then when I met him, I didn't have any expectations and didn't even think about the book. And then that book entirely changed the trajectory of my existence. And so, again, these things presenting themselves to you along your journey, because what I had done before I met my wife is I had decided like, OK, when I think of my life, I want a wife and family and kids. Like, I don't want to continue to be like live like a rock star and hook up with these chicks and live this life like this. You know what I mean? Like, and so I decided like I needed to build a life and a life structure that when I met the one, she would fit perfectly into it and it would be perfect for her. And I changed my life, the way that I live, from getting up early and how I took care of myself and how I stopped like going out and how I became more focused and seeking more clarity. And then boom, she shows up. Right. And knew it instantly, not a coincidence. I'm like, oh my God, it worked, you know, and even for like my friends around, you know, I would not like hook up with any like chicks anymore. It's like, I'm like, the next girl I hook up with is going to be my wife. And so it was like,
attention.
It became this like where all my friends are like, he's crazy, but he's holding that. And then when she showed up, everybody was like, wow, it worked. It really worked. You know what I mean? And obviously that's a huge, you know, it became this massive anchor, because from that point forward, I began to now view the world through forever. Like where before I would head down, what can I do next? Right. And now it was like, what does the rest of my life look like? And that began sort of the journey of evolving into, you know, growing into that, where I eventually found a book called Start at the End, a business book that was this idea of like, decide what you want out of a business before you ever start it. So you have clarity on truly what you're hoping to achieve. And I realized like, man, I should apply that to my life. Yep. And then I designed the life that I want to live, the ideal life. And I grew in and became that person. in 5 years. It was a lifetime. It was my goal to do it over a lifetime. And it took me 5 years. And that's all aspects, whether it be physically, emotionally, balance, time, energy, wealth, everything that I had envisioned for myself to do in my lifetime took me 5 years. Once I set the intention, built the plan, automated it, and optimized it over time, you know.
Yeah. I'm just laughing because I just love you. You know, in life, like when you get to meet people, if someone should be so fortunate that you looked up to for such a long time, sometimes it's a letdown, not you, brother. And I will acknowledge you for that. Like, you're as Rob Dyrdek as ever. And I just appreciate such the authenticity and all that. And so many things of what you just said, like Think and Grow Rich. Everyone's heard that one, but you can read that or really anything at different seasons of your life and you'll have a completely different experience. And I 100%. Love that you use that word experience.
Yeah. And look, even it's a powerful, it is the step by step. It's literally the Bible of success. Anyone should read it over and over, read it every year. And to me, even when I think of like, you know, I'm basically taking my philosophy and putting it into a book, right? And I call it the machine mindset, right? And this idea how these systems that create this harmony create the energy that's a direct reflection of the quality of your existence, right? Because really a high quality life is high quality energy. And I know that the way that I'm constructing it is it will require staging, right? Like there's certain parts that you'll connect with and be able to apply and let it be part of your life. And then as you find more success, more clarity, more understanding of yourself, then you read it again, then you'll be like, oh, I can understand and add that. I think that what I'm creating will serve the same sort of purpose long-term and really sit as a tool next to something like Think and Grow Rich on how to create a system to bring alive all of the principles that are inside something like Think and Grow Rich, you know.
100% agree with you, brother. And I know we didn't spend too much time on the journey. I imagine most of the audience has followed you the way, but this stuff is more valuable to the audience right now. It's more juicy and the audience will be able to take more from it. I just love all this stuff. Another thing I heard you say, I have to ask you about it because I think the audience will love this is, and this is so applicable. Don't fly away with the highs and don't break with the lows. Keep even keeled. How important is that?
Yeah. And look, and I think that's also a muscle. You know what I mean? Like, don't beat yourself up because you, the lows like break you and the highs mismanage your expectations when you're on the way down. It's understanding yourself at such a way that you learn to manage expectations, but you then learn to control how you create in your life so that like you don't mismanage expectations. And again, I always go back to clearly understanding what it is you're trying to do and then understanding the pathway there. Because like then you can stay more even keel. You can be way more patient if you're making slow progress to a clear outcome and you're at least making progress, right? Because keep in mind, you're only going to get bummed and depressed when you're moving away from your goal or not yes. doing what you go or feeling yep. stuck, right? Like and progression is towards something clear is where you belief is built and confidence is built and all of these things that you're actually going to do it. And then over time, it's understanding yourself and building a foundation of your needs that make you up, that don't allow you to have a place where you can swing from highs or swing to lows. Like, because really that balance that you want out of life, you have to create and then grow into it and get better at it over time. You just can't wake up one morning and be like, I'm gonna be balanced. Like you have to design it and grow into it and get better at it over time.
Yeah, everything should be designed as much as it can. So you have a strategy and you're organized, so to speak. And it's so obvious how passionate you are. And also like, just with the systems and stuff like that, everything in your life from the time that you wake up, from the time that you delegate to your family, everything is kind of planned out with a strategy, right?
Right. And again, it's, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's like, you know, it's automated and adaptive. Ooh. Right. But what it allows is there's a rhythm to life. You know, there's weekends, there's mornings, there's holidays, there's birthdays, there's a rhythm, right? So you have to design balance within the rhythm if you want to live balanced, right? And so for me, like getting up at 4:30 and meditating and brain training and sending my wife a email of everything I'm doing that day with a love quote before I tackle all of my and track all my data for the day, how I feel about my life, work, and health. Did I get up at 4:30? Did I eat clean? Did I brain train? Did I get in the gym? Did I not drink? Track all my data, send out my email and to my wife. And now I have my baseline before I go and wake my children up and spend a half hour with them at 7 a.m. before my trainer comes at 7:30. And then at 8:30, I begin my day based off of what that rhythm is. And some days that is, you know, I take my wife to a breakfast date. Right. Sometimes it's, you know, I take, you know, my kids to school and then take my wife to a breakfast date. Right. It's like I design the balance, and now I do it super extreme because I've grown into it and gotten really good at it, and I invested in it. Right. So now I wrote a script for my Google Calendar where I tag and track everything in my calendar every single hour. And I could show you, not by saying it, I could show you by automating and building this rhythm that I sleep 30% of my life. I spend 10% of my life on my health and well-being. I spend 15% of my time with my wife and 14% of the time or 13% of the time with my kids and 3% of the time with my friends and 30% of the time working. And of that 30%, I shot 250 episodes of television and it was 4% of my time. And why is that the case? Because I automated it, then I optimized it to such an extraordinary level that I am able to get it to a place that it's basically effortless. And that is what you're trying to drive all aspects of your systems to, a place where it just becomes intuitive and effortless, so it no longer takes energy. So what happens when you do that? When you get to that point, you now like have more capacity, right? So you got to think, I'm in the middle of a couple crazy transactions, launched two companies, building four this year, launched a podcast, a foundation, started doing interviews again for the first time in years, and all this press. And I did 250 episodes of television, all of that uncompromisingly.
It's impressive.
Inside 30% of my time.
I know what you're thinking. Can one cultivate a bulletproof mindset, or do they have to be born with it? The answer is as follows. We create our own reality. Want to develop and acquire the mindset techniques to completely revamp your mind, alter your perspective, see opportunities where you once saw limitations, tap into all your potential, and cultivate confidence on command? CLS Universe. I bring to you for the first time ever, once in a lifetime, the entire Moonshot Masterpiece Experience online course, jam-packed with all the tools and strategies I use to launch CLS into another stratosphere, filled with modules, worksheets, how to tangibly transform into the 2.0 version of yourself and display your gifts to the world. Very simple. Go to CultivateLastingSymphony.com, tap programs, and then bang! Begin your moonshot today. Let's stop acting like we're going to live twice. Thank me later. You dig?
Because I did not compromise the balance of my family and wife and friends, because that is the life that I designed and became extraordinarily good at living balanced. You know,
all in harmony. And I love how it started at the end. You applied to your life. It's just so beautiful. The only thing that I did wrong today was I gave our mutual friend Meltzer the wrong nickname. I called him the articulate alligator. But brother, the way you articulate things, I'm sure I'm not the first person to tell you that. It's super impressive. Tell us what all the exciting, cool things that you have going on right now with all the businesses and stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, our big launches over the last year, Luso Cloud and Mind Right, Good Mood Superfood, Outstanding Foods, our Pig Out, Pigless Bacon Chip, another really hugely successful company out of our portfolio that's just closed a big round that valued a little over 100 million that we want to take public in the next year or so, and building out this entire sort of, this outstanding foods, and like basically, you know, he's created, you know, they've created all these amazing, like really better for you, better tasting functional snacks that come with vitamins and all this additional stuff. So we'd love that. Obviously, evolving and building my sort of the media side of what the Deer Deck machine is, right? So if we've built, 18 businesses, including a couple new investments with a founder that we've sold two companies with, that is Muertos Coffee with his brother, and Leisure Town, CBD and cannabis sparkling water that we were launching at the end of the year. But it's this fully integrated multi-platform universe of brands, media, community, and philanthropy, right? And really, I launched it of launching Build With Rob. Build With Rob and all the content from it is like, podcast and digital content that shows me really my mind as it relates to life strategy and business at scale now, because I've just never done it. I've only done like the MTV stuff as it relates to content. And then, we formed basically a consumer collaborator group that's part of our building process. We call the Machinists, and we have a few thousand people that are now signed up with that now play part in our process and feedback loop and the businesses we create. And then philanthropy, right? Like we launched the Do or Dyer Foundation. I put $1 million in to launch it. And then what we're doing is partnering with charities that have great entrepreneur programs. So we're funding the charities like Defy and WIT and Build are the groups we're looking at connecting with. They have these great educational programs for entrepreneurs from underserved and underappreciated communities. And then we're going to not only like donate into their charity, but then do business plan competitions for the graduates so they could get this non-dilutive capital to launch their idea or further their life. That again supports that do or die mentality and relentless work ethic and unwavering self-belief in your ability to create your own destiny. They're proving it by getting into this program, then graduating it. So we want to support them and then support the different programs. But again, all of this is sort of the flywheel that is built to attract the very best entrepreneurs in the world with the very best ideas that we can help curate, shape, build, and scale into profitable, sustainable, acquirable businesses.
Yeah. And you're doing it all, brother, and the philanthropy. I love all this. And you've had, like I said earlier, you've had so many different acts. I know when you first did the MTV stuff, you didn't realize how big it would get. Now you've been around the block. You're super successful. It's a massive understatement. What's on the agenda for the next 5 or 10 years? Or are you not even thinking that far ahead?
Well, I do full life planning in every quarter, right? So that I readjust it because things are constantly evolving and changing. And, and for me, I used to be able to see 2 or 3 years in the future. Then I could see 5 years in the future. Then I got to where I could see 10, but now I can see 20, 25 years, And so, then what happens is the more clear you get and you expand towards a vision, you can see further and further, right? So for me, it's really about the scale of this fully integrated multi-platform universe that I've created and the machine method, and then the machine mindset and sort of my life strategy side is another major part of wanting to share what I developed and what it did for me, and so that others could do it themselves and apply it to their lives. And then, as I grow and evolve, I transitioned from self-preservation to generational preservation and with kids and really being a big part of my kids' life and really setting the stage for how do we impact the next 10 generations of Deer Decks and thousands of people that come from the legacy that was born in this world, and that sort of like what allows me to anchor to way beyond even what I'm doing in this world here today, you know, and tie it to our family and ultimately my legacy and the things that I've created in this particular act, if you will. And then beyond that, I see myself transitioning to just doing sort of one-off massive creative projects, right? Where I just, my true passion is like the creation of ideas and having a conversation and watching them come alive. And I can see off in the future, you know, once my kids are older, because, you know, I even the way that I've designed my life plan, if right now I work 30%, I want to grow into working about 15% by the time my kids are a little bit older, and then stay at that level for their formative sort of teenage years before I kick back up to work again when they go off and live their own lives, right? So that's how much clarity you begin to get when you expand into a clearly designed direction. Because I had to create generational wealth in order to transition to generational preservation, right? Like it's not even something I would have even thought of 5 years ago. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it's just the idea that like you're always going to be evolving your goals as you get deeper and wider and smarter and more evolved. And they're always going to be exciting. And you're getting better and better at doing what you say you do. And you just want to keep doing that over and over again. And I'm just living that in a perpetual state of systematic harmony that then is attracting everything I need to grow out into that at all times, you know?
Yeah, I'm obsessed with you, in case you didn't notice. you have such a gift to make such complex stuff, and you articulate it to simplify it so everyone understands exactly what you're talking about, even though some of the stuff, you know, to the naked eye is pretty complex. I just want to acknowledge
it really is. And a great friend of mine would be, as I would share philosophy with him, was like, you've got to find simplicity on the far side of complexity. And like, for me, it's like, you know, when you think about, I've been developing all this for years, you know what I mean? And I didn't want, until I had grown into it, evolved it, and then got it into a deeper clarity and understanding, I didn't choose to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, I actually began developing and living this way in 2015, you know, and it wasn't until 2021, after 5 years of development and living and growing and evolving, was I ready to finally share, you know?
Yeah. Love all this, brother. And like I said earlier on, I wish we had 10 hours to speak. I think I'll see you probably soon in person, because I'm going to put that intention out there. And I just respect you so much. And obviously we just formed a relationship. We have some mutual friends. My audience is rapidly growing. How can I in any way possibly support you, brother?
I mean, look, you know, I'm just being on the show and having the conversation is more than enough support for me, right? Like, I'm at the end of the day, it's having a thoughtful conversation that matters with those that are on the mission to help people evolve into becoming the best version of themselves. That's really what like these conversations really mean. And every time I get to talk about it again with someone that's living it at a stage where it's part of their ethos, I get better at saying it, and I get ideas and clarity on how I can explain it further. You know what I mean? Like it's important for me just to have these conversations, because I grow and ultimately now there's another bit of my voice that your listeners get to hear, you know, and even those that know me, it'll be a discovery of like, wow, didn't anticipate that he spoke like that. You know, yes. you have to be engaged in who I am today to really understand sort of my depth of thinking and philosophy as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something like I never heard. And you're right. It's the evolution of you, the man. I love it. This is probably a silly question, but where can the audience catch up with you, support you, follow you, see what you have going on?
I mean, everything is easy peasy, Rob Dyrdek, you know, and then all the stuff that I do through my venture studio is DyrdekMachine.com and all things Dyrdek Machine.
You know? I love it. I'm going to tag you on some stuff on Instagram, Rob. For the audience listening, all we ask, if you absolutely love the episode, take a screenshot, tag Rob and myself in it. Let us know that you absolutely loved it. Rob, I just want to say you're the definition of resilience, heart, discipline, and structure. You articulate things in a way I've never heard before. You're making the world a smarter, systematic, and straight up more fun place to be. You're a legend, role model, and beacon of hope for anyone coming up today with big goals and aspirations. Your mindset is bulletproof. I could personally guarantee your best is yet to come. You have my word right here, right now. This is just the beginning of a very special relationship. Thank you so much for your gems today, brother. Keep on shocking the world, Rob.
Nah, look, appreciate you. Again, thoughtful intro, thoughtful exit. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, buddy. That was awesome, Rob. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. No, thank you, man. Like, for real, I really appreciate it. It was an amazing, amazing conversation.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.